Jumping off into hour two here of Sports Talk on WWL, AMFM.com, breaking down LSU Media Days, SEC Media Days, and Hoover, also our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. Where will LSU finish in the SEC West? First, second, third, or outside of the top three? Cast your vote online at WWL.com or call us at 504-260-1870. We welcome in now NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter. Mike, before we get into the conversation, how'd you guys fare out down there?
Good. We were fortunate. Listen, you just never know. And that little jolt out to the west certainly played a big part into it, where Terrebonne, Lafourche Parish, Jefferson, Orleans, we were sort of spared of a lot of that heavy rain that came down. And so everything made out pretty good here. Our lower part of Terrebonne Parish, they had some issues, but we were very fortunate.
Let's jump right in on LSU. And, Mike, I think I know your answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway, because first, though, I want to play what Herb Tyler said, and this will kind of give you an idea as to what I'm going to ask you. Tell me, we're ready to go? I'll play it. Here we go.
Everything in me, Christian, you know, wants to say yes, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I bleed purple and gold, right?
Yes,
okay,
you do.
So with that being said, so everything in me is going to say, yes, we're going to beat Bama this year. This is the year. You heard it first. Herb Tyler said it first. LSU will take down the almighty, if you want to call it that, the Roll Tide, Elephant, all of the Crimson, all of that, whatever. They're going down. Purple and gold, baby. Go Tigers. Coach O is going to make it happen.
Now, Mike, we all know Herb Tyler bleeds purple and gold. Is this the year that LSU beats Alabama, Mike?
It's their best opportunity in the last probably six or seven. You have an experienced quarterback who is really good. I mean, Joe Burrow's one heck of a football player. I'll give you a comment. Pete Jenkins and I were sitting around for the Louisiana Line Camp and throwing things out. And one of the things he told me was, he said, hey, listen, this is down your wheelhouse. But he said, when LSU plays in the first game of the year against Georgia Southern, write down the 11 starters on defense. He said, unless some of them get suspended or there's an injury, write them down. All 11 of those guys are going to get drafted into the National Football League. How many teams can say that? Alabama? Maybe Clemson? You know? But he said, just look at that 11 that they have on the defensive side, the football. So, man, listen, this is your best shot. I know you're playing them on the road, but don't give me that 2020 stuff. Man, I've seen a couple of guys write that. Man, 2020's our year because we play them in Baton Rouge. It don't matter where you played them. They beat you. So you're going to tell me that the 2020 team would probably, you know, you're not going to have. If Chaseon has the season I think he'll have, you ain't seeing him anymore. Mike Divinity is going to be gone. Rashard Lawrence is gone. Fahoku's going to be gone. Christian Fulton's gone. Grant Delpit's gone. You going to tell me that defense in 2020 is going to be better than the one you see this year? Ain't happening. And listen, I think the world of Miles as a player, but he doesn't have a lot on the resume. Joe Burrow does. And so I think this is their best opportunity. And the schedule sets up better for them, certainly than a year ago, early, a tough game against Texas on the road. And, you know, this stuff about, well, you know, Georgia played their bowl game against Alabama, SEC championship game. All I know when I watch that game is the Longhorns kicked the crud out of them physically. They beat them like a fighter on the ropes, and they just kept hammering at Georgia. In the trenches, they beat them. So that's going to be a tough game. And then the other than Alabama, I think is Florida. How the matchup has been. Florida's a very talented football team. You got an experienced quarterback in Franks, and it's also the coaching matchup. Other than Nick, who's given Coach O and toward the end with Coach Miles more trouble than anyone? The guy that's at Florida today. He was at Mississippi State. Mm-hmm. He was pretty competitive. That's all I know. Dan Mullen is a really good coach, and Grantham threw some things at him that he weren't ready for. Because, in essence, he's college football's version, Grantham's college football version of Greg Williams. Hey, get to the quarterback. You know, play the run along the way. Just knock the quarterback around a little bit. And one of the things I know in talking to O this offseason that really bothered him, Bobby and I talked about this during the season, they gave up 167 yards a game rushing. Man, if anything gets underneath Ogeron's backside, it's that. And a lot of it was RPO stuff. And just think about what State did at, you know, and yeah, State competed against them very well and won a few games against them with Dan. But, and then you saw last year with Florida, they had difficulties stopping the RPO plays. And that was something I think with Coach Aranda, they've spent a lot of time in working on and trying to stop that. But to answer your question, your best shot to beat them in the next couple years is 2019, despite the fact it's on the road, because it really hasn't mattered where you played Alabama. Now, Alabama's schedule, you know, they're not playing a lot of Titans, so to speak, along the way, but they are who they are. They still have elite talent. They've lost a lot of people early to the NFL, and there's been a shuffle of the deck as far as assistant coaches are concerned. So your best shot is this year. I agree with Herb 100%. This is your shot to do it, and no one's expecting it. You know, I think in other years you maybe thought, man, this is the year you catch them. This is the year you catch them. I don't think anybody's picking LSU to beat Alabama, you know, on their own home turf. Not many, unless, you know, you're wearing the purple and gold. You got a shot this year. You really do.
Mike Dettillier, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter. He's sticking around for the entire 5 o'clock hour. WWL NFL and college football analyst. More to come with Mike. This is Sports Talk here on WWLAMFM.com. Back here with NFL and college football analyst Mike Dettillier. Welcome back to Sports Talk. At Mike Dettillier on Twitter, breaking down LSU. I want to ask Mike, our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com. Where will LSU finish in the SEC West? First, second, third, or outside of the top three? How do you size up LSU and the SEC West in general? Who's going to win the West, and where does it come after 2, 3, and 4?
Well, when you look at it, until you beat them, they are the champs. So it's Alabama. That's one. And I'll put LSU 2. I think those two teams are cut above right now. You know, Mississippi State's rebuilding on the defensive side of the football. Ole Miss is rebuilding on the offensive side of the football. Arkansas, you know, totally rebuilding. Texas A&M is an interesting team. I think they're a year away because of the fact that they had some heavy losses. You lose your top running back in Trevion Williams. Jay Sternberger gets picked, top 100 pick in the draft as a tight end. Your best player on offense, Eric McCoy, Saints got him. Defensively, I think it's 5 or 6 starters they lost on that side. And the schedule's tough. They play a lot of games on the road that's difficult. And I'm a big Jimbo Fisher fan. I think Jimbo's a heck of a coach. I just don't see it happening this year for him, where they may take a little bit of a step back because of what – listen, it's difficult when you start to lose people early to the NFL to replenish. And the schedule. So I think it's clear cut. It's Alabama at the top, LSU right there at 2.
Mike, how big of an impact do you think Derek Stingley Jr. is going to have as a freshman?
and I were joking about it, and he tells me, you know, because he's heard me say it a few times about somebody who's an elite talent. And he joked with me about it. We did a couple of the Tiger tours, and he's like, hey, he's an elite talent as a cover guy and as a return man. And that's something LSU really hasn't had in the return game since Tyrann Mathieu. DJ was hit and miss. He kind of put the lump in your throat every time he touched it. Either it was going to be a great play or it was going to be kind of a screw up. But DJ really hadn't done a lot of that until they asked him to do it. And he certainly was huge. That Auburn game, he turned the tide with the return. But I think that's where you're going to see it pretty quickly. He's got the ability to hit the jets at a certain time and make the first man miss. He's really good at it. He came in here, and he's smart as a cover guy. He's technically sound. He's got some titanium in the backbone, and he better, because they're going to test him. It's something Ed Reed told me this years ago. You're going to get tested. Because I would always ask him, what's the big difference between playing college football and the NFL for a cornerback? And he says, you know, first thing is you play a receiver, a really good one, maybe three times out of the year, maybe four at the most. Most of the time, they're not the elite receivers. And secondly, they test you early. They keep going after you. And we saw it last year with Surtain at Alabama. They went after him and just mercifully went after him at times. And the same thing's going to happen to Derek. They're going to go after him. They're not going to throw the football toward Christian Fulton's side of the field. They're going to go after Derek. He's a guy that I think can handle this very well. He's a very mature young man for his age. He's got some athletic arrogance about him, which I love to see, because I think for anybody playing that sport, you better have it. And he's got it, and he's just so gifted. But he picks things up like a sponge. He's going to get beat, but you know what? I don't think it's going to affect the next play with him. So I think he's going to have a big impact on this LSU team, and also in the return game where we haven't seen that type of ability. You know, Tyron flipped the switch when he came in there. He had that ability to make the first guy miss, kind of one move, and then toof, you see the back of his heels the rest of the way.
Mike Dettillier, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter, NFL and college football analyst here on Sports Talk. And Mike, will Joe Brady have the impact on this offense that many expect him to?
Yeah, I think because it was something that Ed's talked about, because he's worked, you know, when he was at Miami and they had those type of offenses, and at USC where they had those type offenses, he learned a lot from Sean Payton in 2008. Offensively, and he wanted some of that put into here, and he was looking for the right guy. And I think Joe has really worked extremely well with Ensminger in piecing this together and spreading the field out, throwing the football like an extended handoff to the receivers and let them go one-on-one downfield. They have the personnel to do it. They're probably the thickest area depth-wise at wide receiver than any other spot on this football team. And so why wouldn't you take advantage of that? And you got big receivers, smaller receivers with speed, and so you let them do the thing. And you have an experienced quarterback that'll get the ball in their hands and let them just take off downfield with it in a lot of one-on-ones. It also helps you in the running game. In essence, you can't put all those people in the box anymore. You got to cover. So if you split out in four wide receiver sets or three wide receivers and the tight end split out, you got to match up. You can't keep all those people in the box. It's going to help out your running game. The big question mark is going to be balancing that with Ed's always loved power football. And so he's told me, hey, listen, we ain't no finesse team, and we ain't never going to be no finesse team. We are going to play power football and run it when you need to and have to. And so it's going to be an interesting mix here on how that works. But they have the right quarterback. They have the talent, that receiver, to do it. And Joe's made a huge impact when he came with Pete Carmichael to LSU's camp to just sort of go over some things that the Saints were doing. Ed was really impressed and told me right off the bat, man, he's a guy that's got a chance to be a big-time coach in this business. He had an opportunity to hire him last year. He waited out. He did talk to Sean about bringing him in. Coach Payton asked Ed to wait until the season was over with and then talk to him, and Ed adhered to that. And so then they made the move afterwards to get Brady. But I think he's going to have a big impact on this offense. But even better, Christian, he's got the guy that can turn the engine over on the car. He's got Joe Burrow at quarterback. Now, one of the things Taysom Hill tells me is, and he's a big believer in Joe Brady, is, you know, a lot of times you make a play call, okay? You call in a play, and, you know, like he says, you know, with the Saints, Drew Brees makes it work. He sees things so quickly. He adjusts to things so quickly. How will Joe do that? He said, you know, that's the mystery of all this, because he said, you know, as smart as Joe is and can run the offense, what made the Saints' offense run so well is how well Drew can just compress this in a short period of time and then get the ball to the right guy. And he said, you know, that might take a few games for it all to come together with Joe. But he got the right quarterback. Believe me, he's a guy that's a winner. And the guy behind him's got some arm talent. And hopefully that he can come around, because that would really set LSU up for something that before Pete Carroll got there at USC, they had only had one quarterback selected in 6 years of the draft. And then all of a sudden, Carson Palmer, Matt Leinart, Mark Sanchez, Booty. I mean, it was one after the other after the other. And that's what's got to happen at LSU, and also get better along their offensive and defensive lines. That's something that from day one, Ogeron knew he had to rebuild, because I think that's where Les slipped the most at, is recruiting guys in the trenches.
Mike Dettillier, at Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst. We'll continue. Got a half hour to go with him. We'll focus a little bit more on the Saints this final half hour. This is Sports Talk on WWL.
The evolution of the game of football is moving towards the spread. You see it in the NFL now. Guys like Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, they're having a lot of early success because NFL teams are adopting more of the spread style, college style system. And so I think if you're lagging behind that, you're going to get left in the dust.
LSU quarterback Joe Burrow at SEC Media Days. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Christian Garrick, at Mike Dettillier on the line, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter, NFL and college football analyst. Mike, 12 out of the last 15 Heisman winners have been quarterbacks. Do you think this year's Heisman winner will come from the Manning Passing Academy?
That's a pretty good possibility. Again, Tua couldn't show this year because of a slight hamstring. But, man, it's been dominated at that quarterback spot. So I would suspect it's going to be again in there. I think the one long – I think if you want to call it a long shot. But I think one guy that I would – you know, and I'll be there pretty soon. If you're going to put money in Vegas on a kind of a shot, Travis Etienne from Clemson. Every time you watch him touch the ball, Christian, he is a one-man highlight reel for the Tigers. He is a tremendous football player. He's gotten overshadowed because their defense has been so good, and now you got, you know, Trevor at quarterback. But man, he is a good player, really tremendous player. Louisiana kid that you know, Les was chasing Cam Akers from Mississippi and didn't show a lot of attention to ATN, and he decided, enough, I'm out. And so he goes to Clemson, and he is a really good football player, but I don't know if he can beat out any of the quarterbacks. So they got a really good group this year when you look at Trevor and certainly at Tua. I'm interested to see the type season Justin Herbert will have, and he'll have a test very quickly into the season. And so, you know, those three guys on top of the list real quick. And one guy to watch, and I don't know how much Heisman hype he'll get, but LSU gets to see him, and that's Justin Love from Utah State, who really impressed me at the Manning camp. I mean, he was a guy that I wrote about instantly. You watch him, how well he handles himself, how good he can throw the football, his footwork, his mechanics. He is a really good-looking prospect. And I saw him on, you know, on TV last year a few times play. But, you know, how many people are watching Utah State? You know, unless you got coin on the game, you know, or are you watching TV at like 10 o'clock on a Friday night or a Saturday night, which a lot of people do. But
or family.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. But I don't know much of a Heisman threat he'll be, and I would say probably he's a real long shot. But, man, he is somebody to watch because he is a really good-looking prospect.
Mike, shifting gears a little bit to the Saints, and in particular, you may or may not play EA Sports Madden. I know Madden is hugely mm-hmm. popular, but the ratings came out today. Everybody melted down when they saw Alvin Kamara at 90 and Melvin Gordon of the Chargers at 92. You think he's getting slighted a little bit? Alvin Kamara should be higher than 90?
Yeah, he got slighted on that deal. Just because of the way the Saints offense is, and common sense should tell you that without Mark Ingram here, and this is nothing against Murray, but without Mark, he's going to get more touches this year as a runner and receiver. He's just going to get more. And I think Sean has gotten to that almost brink to tell you that, and then sort of steps back a little bit. So I'm surprised at that. I really am. I didn't think Gordon would get a higher rating than Kamara would, to be honest with you. But listen, they've been pretty good at this throughout the years. We shall see. But that one, I totally disagree with, and really disagree with him on Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees at 93, I want to say.
Again, you know, I think, you know, people involved here look at those numbers late and saw kind of what happened, that they weren't putting up those pinball numbers like we saw middle of the season. And a lot of that has to do with injuries along the offensive line and finding someone else to get open. We saw defenses adjust, double-teaming Michael Thomas, double-teaming Alvin Kamara. But with the addition of Jared Cook, hopefully to get some development of the young receiving core, and one guy that I'm really interested to watch in camp and doing coverage for the Titans also, Rishard Matthews, who in 2016 and 2017, he caught 118 passes total for the Titans. Now, that's pretty good numbers for a team that, you know, their passing attack is not going to be compared to what Sean Payton or Sean McVay does with the Rams. And he, really good route runner, gets open. He knows how to set you up, get separation downfield. I don't think him and the new head coach quite got along very well. And eventually got cut, went to the Jets. That wasn't right for him. But Matthews was a really good player for the Titans. And, you know, when he was at training camp for the OTAs, you saw he knew how to get open. He knew how to set you up and get separation downfield. Interested to see the old vet, because I'm telling you, he ain't giving that up real fast. He's the type of guy that's really competitive, and he could be a help to this football team.
Mike, sit tight. We got more to come with Mike Dettier, NFL analyst, college football analyst, at Mike Dettier on Twitter. Think about your dark horse on the other side of this break. I want to hear your possible dark horse of who could make this team. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Back here hanging out with Mike Dettier, at Mike Dettier on Twitter, WWL NFL and college football analyst, talking about the Saints training camp opening in just about 11 days, right around the corner. And Mike, dark horses, give me a guy that you feel like has an outside, a long shot, but still an outside chance to ultimately make the Saints' final roster.
Wide receiver would be Simi Cobbs. He was a guy that was a really productive football player at Indiana. Got hurt, had a little off-the-field issue, gets undrafted, makes the Redskins practice squad, and the Saints pulled him off late. Big, thick, physical receiver who is really talented. He's got some rough edges that he needs to get smoothed out, but I think he is a prospect. At running back, Devine Ozigbo. I've watched him the last few years at Nebraska. Not a lot of great talent around him. He's a sneaky fast runner, very smart, knowing where to hit the hole, get up the field. He's tough to bring down, one-on-one, catches the ball pretty well coming out the backfield. He would seem to be a good fit in what they do. How quickly he picks up everything, I think, is going to be the big question mark with Devine. On defense, if he stays healthy, he's going to be a hard cut. And that's a big if. And that's Kayvon Webster. Kayvon was an early round pick of the Broncos, got hurt there. He's been with the Redskins, been with the Texans. But he's had one injury after another, after another, after another. But he is a really good cover guy. He matches up well, both man, zone cover schemes. He tracks the ball real well in flight. The big question mark is, can he stay healthy? Because if he can, he can help this football team. And he has started at Denver, started with the Rams, started with the Texans. So you're talking about you bringing in a guy here. He just isn't a guy off the street. He's been a guy that has started for three different teams but has just battled one injury after the other. The most intriguing guy for me is Sylvester Williams, former first-round pick who has bounced all over this league. But he's a big run stuffer inside. And when you think about not having Rankins for eight games or more, you're not going to have Onyemata for at least one game, is that this is last chance for Sylvester to make it. But he's a guy that I like that big man theory with him. He knows how to fill the gaps well. He's not going to give you a great pass rush, but he's a big load in the middle to move. And in a short area, he's got good skills to run down ball carriers. So he's a veteran, understands this game. And also, too, like Webster, last chance. He doesn't make it here. He probably never play pro football again. You get that age, you understand you ain't making that money in the outside world.
Mike Dettillier, at Mike Dettillier on Twitter. Stick around. We've got more to come here on Sports Talk on WWL. Wrapping up our hour with Mike Dettillier, NFL and college football analyst. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Tim Zimmer at Master Control, taking your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Mike, give me a veteran that is on the bubble that if he doesn't have a good camp, is it Cam Meredith that could be gone pecan?
Cam, I think Trey Hendrickson, if you want to call a three-year guy a veteran. But I think it's a tough camp for him. You know, he's fought injuries, and he's got to be more of a playmaker at that spot. The other guy, too, I'm just telling you, if Webster stays healthy, could it be P-Rob? You know, he's pushing an age, coming off a real serious injury, and, you know, you just sort of wonder about
that. A lot of cap
that.
Money to eat.
Man, it might be, but, you know, Sean's out. That's never really been a big issue with him. You know, if somebody has to go, he's always said, I'm going to keep the best 53 men for my team. Also, another spot, they spent a lot of money, undrafted free agent, on that deep snapper, Wood from Georgia. That wouldn't be a spot that you would think, you know, hey, we've seen a lot of bad snaps or anything like that. But that's something behind that, Christian, where you would spend that. And he had other places. He had a lot of other offers he could have went that, to me, would have looked a lot easier to make than the Saints. And he's got an intriguing story, former Major League Baseball player. Came back. He thought he was going to play running back at Georgia until he took a look at that roster, or he saw the roster out on the field and said, man, listen, I better do something else. And developed a good deep snapping skill. I'm interested in that and why you gave up a lot of money in the undrafted free agent part to bring Wood in, to bring Nick in. And he had other options, and he decided to come here. It's an intriguing move, but, you know, a lot of times you do, you know, things behind the scenes trying to save money here and there. So, yeah, I think those are guys to watch. And then what's going to happen in the interior? I think injuries are always going to play a part in that. But there's a lot of center guards on this football team that they may have to move one late. And you may get a nice offer for a team that, you know, you hate to be morbid about it, but maybe has an injury at the center guard position.
Ken Qualley makes his team or no?
No.
Kind of thought the same thing.
And I'm not real sure. I think if you could have traded him, I think they would have.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have traded him at draft time. If you could have moved him for a draft choice, I think you would have at this point. The fact that you didn't sort of tells you there's not a lot of interest at that point. And I think teams will say, hey, listen, we'll give him a shot. But, you know, we're not going to take that contract. We'll redo our own and see what happens with it. But I think it's going to be tough with Ken, with PJ, with Webster, if he can stay healthy, with P-Rob. I mean, you got a lot of bodies there.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
With Apple and Marshawn.
Along with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I mean, they're loaded back there. I know he's playing more of a nickel than an outside corner. Realistic, Mike, in about 2 minutes, realistic expectations for Marcus Davenport in year two?
I think he makes a big move. I think he gets near double digits as a pass rusher. And I think a big part of that is him adding strength in the lower body. And I talked to Danielle Hunter about this and why he didn't put up big numbers at LSU. And he said, I was real close, but I found out that just using speed wasn't going to help me. I needed the power source. And he got stronger in the lower body. And that's what Davenport's doing, getting that strength in the lower body. And I think you're talking about a guy that, you know, he's going to be that 8.5, 9 sacks a year. I think he makes a big move in year two, getting better as a technician. And he's coached by one of the top young defensive line coaches in the game in Ryan Nielsen. And so I expect big things from Marcus Davenport this year.
Mike Dettillier, always a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Christian. Appreciate it, bud.
All right. At Mike Dettillier on Twitter, WWL NFL and college football analyst. Phone lines are open at 504. 504-